Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Stronghold Baptist Church. You can grab your hymnals and open up to Psalm 416. Psalm 416, as a volunteer. Psalm 416. All right, let's sing this out on the first. A call for the little soldiers comes to one and all. Soldiers for the conflict, will you be the call? Will you answer quickly with a ready cheer? Will you be enlisted as a volunteer? A volunteer for Jesus, a soldier. Turn to our next song, Psalm 230. Psalm 230, Heavenly Sunlight. Psalm 230.
Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight. right, great singing this evening. It's very good to have you all with us once again here at Stronghold Baptist Church. The pens are multiplying now. See, I made one point of it, of going, hey, can I at least make sure we got a pen up here? Now it's like they're going to start overflowing the pulpit with all these pens. Thank you for that, though. It's nice to have options. Oh, and there's another couple over here. Look at this. Did someone take the whole cup and be like, here you go, Pastor Bersons. I got your pens for you.
I got you.
I see. We're making sure. All right, very good. We're going to go through our announcements. So if you guys don't have a bulletin, or anyone doesn't have a bulletin, slip your hand up real high. We'll make sure that one of the ushers will get one out to you. If you open up to the first page, you will see our service times there. Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 5 p.m., Wednesday night at 7 is our Bible study. We are in Hebrews 12, resuming the book of Hebrews this week. We'll be in chapter 12. Come on out for that, as we're going to be wrapping up the book of Hebrews here real soon. Soul winning opportunities are listed there, salvations and baptisms for the month of October as well as for the year. Let's go ahead and count up the salvations for today. Hold on, I got to record. There was one from the West Side soul winning yesterday. I need to record, and then today. So if you went soul winning today, had salvation, slip your hand up real high. We'll get that counted up. Yes, sir. One. One back there. Anyone else? All right, very good. Keep up the good work. Obviously very important. Is there anything else to report? Did anyone have any numbers that weren't already reported this morning? Anyone have any soul winning done that ought to be recorded? All right. Excellent. Keep up the good work. Down at the bottom page there is the offering total for the month of October. Prayer requests. We had some good news this morning. Faye's improving. She's doing better. Still not well, but starting the positive progress. So that is good. Be in prayer for my father-in-law, who's having ankle fusion surgery on November 10th. Pray for Austin's co-worker's wife, Belinda, who's having cervical cancer surgery on November 21st. And continue to pray, of course, for everybody on our list here. If you have anybody to add, use those cards that are out in the foyer, and you could drop them in the offering plate or just hand them to me directly. I'd be happy to add your prayer requests here. Pray for Sure Foundation Baptist Church, Pastor Aaron Thompson, and pray especially for the new church plant that is beginning or just begun. I didn't actually listen to the whole video. I saw that it was announced, so it's pretty cool. Excited about that. Pray that God will bless all their work and efforts, and that many more people will be reached with the gospel, and that the church will grow and thrive, and just continue to serve God. It's good. On the next page, Columbia Soul Winning Marathon this Saturday. This Saturday. So I have already, we got confirmation on the locations that they should be good. They're able to handle our group. So that is cool. We'll be meeting at 9 a.m. at that Panera Bread. That the address is there. So there's more than one. There's more than one Panera Bread in Columbia. So just make sure you go to the right one. That's why I provided the address for you. That is the one that we are meeting at. If you show up to the other one, you may be all by yourself. Or maybe some other people who didn't pay attention will go to that one as well. The one that we're going to has outdoor seating. That one's on like a main street, and it looks a lot smaller and not as accommodating for us. So make sure you go to the right one, 9 a.m. And we plan on, we'll have some breakfast provided for you, okay, from 9 to about 9:30, 9:45. We'll be pairing people up then and going out in groups. And going out soul winning, I want to hit the ground running about 10 o'clock. So we're gonna wrap things up as soon as we can, get out of there and start hitting the streets and do some soul winning. And we'll do that for about two and a half hours till lunchtime. We're gonna have some pizza for lunch. The pizzas will be, I'm planning on having pizzas ready to start coming out at 12:30. Yeah, I'll announce all this for people who are coming, but we're going to just plan on making it back to lunch, the lunch location, about 12:30 to start eating. And then obviously people come a little bit later, whatever, the food will still be there, be ready to go. And then going right back out on the street again for those of you who are going to commit the whole day to this and be able to go out soul winning for another few hours until dinner time. So as always, we will provide for you, we'll feed you and take care of you and provide drinks while we are out soul winning. So looking forward to that. Should have another really good turnout. Count about 30 people from our church that have already signed up. If you plan on going and you have not RSVP'd, please do so. We appreciate it. It helps with planning of the food and stuff like that. So use a sign-up sheet. Same thing for all the other events that we have coming up. November challenge is a Bible memory challenge. So the challenge for this month is to memorize 25 verses, any verses that you want from the Bible, but you have to be able to quote all 25 verses in whatever order you want, right, or however you memorize it, but you have to be able to quote all of them at once, right? Not just quote one and then learn another one, then quote that one and learn, you know, you got to be able to do all of it, okay, string it all together. So that is the stipulation there. And then also, if anyone has children that would like to participate in this Bible memory challenge, we will accommodate children doing Bible memory. Okay, and I'm flexible on that because I want to see the kids learning that. So just talk to me about it, and we'll come up with something that will work for your child, your children, something that's appropriate. You know, I want, like I mentioned before, one option would be to maybe if a child wants to learn a verse in a day and could memorize it and be able to quote it and have it down, right? Parents, you'll be checking this, that they actually can say the whole verse and say it good and say it perfectly. If they could do that each day for 25 days, hey, that's great. Or if they do a couple of them in a day or something, then good. You know, I'm not going to hold them to the same standard of having to quote all 25, right, at once. But again, it's going to be age dependent, and we'll try to make it just a little bit challenging for the child, but also get them into and get excited for the challenge, and we'll have prizes for them too. So kids get a chance to earn some prizes. I know we've got some water balloons still left, if that might be something that a child might want, or we'll get some other things too. So Bible memory, great challenge. We are also doing the Hebrews Bible memory, and I didn't want this to, you know, to infringe on that at all. So you can totally just use whatever you haven't memorized already in the month of November. Once you start in November, everything new will count towards your 25 verses. So you can keep on just doing the Hebrews Bible memory as your 25 verses for the challenge. So you could kind of get a double whammy there and have it. Oh, good night. Pastor Burns, will you please put your phone on silent? Now's a good opportunity to tell everyone that if you could please keep your phones on silent, we would greatly appreciate that here so we can minimize our distractions in church. That was the church line, though, by the way. Now I'm all screwed up. All right, Bible memory challenge, Bible memory, Hebrews chapter 5. We've got a couple weeks left, 3 weeks actually, to finish Hebrews chapter 5 if you're working on that to get the prize for that. Upcoming events are listed there. A homeschool field trip November 18th to Stone Mountain should be a lot of fun. Sign up for that if you plan on coming. And that one's kind of weird with the admission because there's like a vehicle cost just for cars coming in and parking at the park. And then there's also attraction rides, things like that, that cost money too. So just let us know. And there's ages that are coming matter and things like that. So sign up for that. Excuse me. On the sign-up sheet, if you plan on attending that. Upcoming birthdays and anniversaries are listed there. Just the update to Dakota and Jake. They're a day later than I had remembered, which isn't bad for my memory. Sorry, I was wrong. All right. And then one last announcement. We did change the locks next door, so they are consistent with this lock. So the key that unlocks this door will unlock now all of the doors that we have. So that makes it easier. You don't have to worry about having more than one key for the building. So if you come in and you want to do any work, any extra work to help us, you're welcome to do so. That's one of the reasons why we have that lock box out on the door. If you need the code for the lockbox, I'll be happy to give it to you. If you want to come in, do some work, have at it at your whatever time suits you best. I don't know when I'll be able to schedule another all-day working time. We'll see about that. I don't know if I have any more open weekends for the rest of the year. So either way, we'll try to get something going. But I appreciate everyone who's volunteered already and is going to continue to volunteer. That's it for announcements. So I am going to turn the service back over to Brother Peter.
Right, church. Where could I go? Song number 451. While the offering plates are being passed around, you can open up your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. That is the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And as we do customary here at Stronghold Baptist Church, we're going to read the entire chapter. And I'm going to ask Brother Devin if he can please do that for us.
That was Numbers chapter 16. Now Korah the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On the son of Peleth, the sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him, Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. And Moses said unto Korah, Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi. Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel hath separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them? And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also? For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord? And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, We will not come up. Is it a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land of a land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. And Moses was very wroth, and said unto the Lord, Respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them. And Moses said unto Korah, Be thou and all thy company before the Lord. Thou and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord, every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side, and Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives, and their sons, and their little children. And Moses said, Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, Lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter thou the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offer them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be a sign unto the children of Israel. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers wherewith they had they that were burnt had offered, and they were made broad plates for a covering of the altar, to be a memorial unto the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and as his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. But on the morrow all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, Ye have killed the people of the Lord. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. And Moses said unto Aaron, Take a censer, and put fire therein from off the altar, and put on incense, and go quickly unto the congregation, and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. And Aaron took as Moses commanded, and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense, and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Brother Jesse, can you pray for us, please?
Father in heaven, we thank you for another time giving us to hear the word of God preached. And we pray you bless Pastor Dave Bird right now, fill the Holy Ghost, and let you speak the word of God and teach us, and help keep all distractions from the Lord. Help us, our hearts and minds, pray and receive the things of God so we can find our lives. We pray all things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Numbers chapter 16. I love this story. There's so much to unpack here. We're not going to do like a full Bible study through this. We're going to focus more on the end of the chapter, but I have to cover some of the events leading up to the end. So the title of my sermon is Between the Dead and the Living. And I love this portion of scripture where Aaron is holding that censer and he's interceding for the people from the plague that came forth from the Lord and going forth and saving them. It's a super exciting chapter. There's a lot of great truths to learn here. But in order to fully appreciate what was done, we do have to get everything in context here and understand what happened. And really, this chapter exemplifies the spirit with which we ought to have on both sides of the spectrum here, meaning dealing with the wicked doers like the false prophets, as well as your average sinner in the world. Okay, now, hear me out on this. What we see at the very beginning is this story of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And this actually fits in well. If you weren't able to catch what I preached at First Works Baptist Church on Thursday night, I preached a sermon called The Lord's Anointed. And there I covered a little bit about how people ought to respect people who are put in positions, the Lord's Anointed, but also not take that too far of exalting people too high and kind of thinking that they could do no wrong and no one could ever contradict them. That was what I preach on Thursday night. But this goes along with that a little bit because it's an example of people who just had no regard for God's structure, for who God placed in positions of authority, not even recognizing that there is an authority structure and that was God-given, because they start just saying, well, you know, basically, who is this Moses and who is this Aaron guy? Look, isn't the Lord among all of us anyways? I mean, aren't we all holy? Aren't we all sanctified? No, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, no, you're not. Now, Korah was actually of the Levites, but Dathan and Abiram were not. They were of Reuben, I think, was the tribe that they were from. So they had nothing to do with the service of the tabernacle. And when you read this chapter, you got to read it carefully because you'll notice a lot of it is just directed at Korah. A lot of the communication Moses isn't even dealing with Dathan and Abiram for the most part. Now, they're all included, but Korah is kind of the main thing because they're the ones that even would have anything to do with the service of the tabernacle. But Dathan and Abiram have nothing to do with it. And it wasn't just Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Those were like the ringleaders, but they also got 250 of the chief, you know, rulers and leaders within Israel. They got all these guys on their side saying, hey, who do you think you are, Moses? Who do you think you are, Aaron? What makes you so special, huh? I think we all should be so, you know, you just want to lift yourself up over the people. You just want to, you know, put yourself in that position. And aren't there people today that would say the same thing to a pastor of a church? Well, you just want to lift yourself up over all the people. You know, it's like, no, look, idiot, God is the one who ordained there to be bishops and pastors and elders. And God is the one who put that authority in place for his house and how things are to be done decently and in order. Okay, God is the one who designed that, just like he did with the Levites, with the priests, with, you know, the, under the order of Aaron and the Levites. That is all God ordained. And anyone, especially, I mean, this is, to me, this is nuts how quick this comes after the giving. I mean, Moses is still alive. Like, they're not even doing this after Moses has passed on, trying to call question and doubt on. It's like, we just received the law. And now you say, who is this Moses? Yeah, the same Moses that's talking face to face with God. Oh, who are you? What makes you so special? Maybe that his face was shining and that he had a veil over his face to even talk to you. Yeah. Maybe that's what makes him so special, right? Maybe that's one of the things. But they have this bad attitude, right? Now, you can't overlook how Moses deals with this. And one of the things, I've mentioned this before, but I love this so much. They're trying to say, well, who do you think you are, Moses? And then it's like, Moses just takes charge. Okay, well, here's what we're going to do then. You guys take censors, and I'll take a censor, and then we'll go before. It's like, and then they listen to him. Yeah. It's like, so who really is in charge? They know, everyone knows who's in charge. It's still Moses. Even when they're trying to call into question his authority, they still listen to what he says to do, right? I mean, it's just kind of ironic that these people are doing this. But one thing that's important to mention, too, because we see some awesome humility. We'll get into that later in the chapter. But first, when these people come unto Moses, so when they're trying to say there in verse number 3, they gather themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. That's not true, first of all. Do you remember, like, the importance of the holiness of the high priests and, like, their garments and all the things that had to be done for them to, like, be holy and able to serve the Lord and enter into the tabernacle of the congregation, then enter into the Holy Spirit? Like, okay, just saying that, well, everybody's holy. Look, no. Okay, you're really downplaying the importance of the holiness of the people that were serving the Lord to begin with. And just making it of none effect. So they're just making stuff up here. But see, that's what's popular. That's going to get you the votes. That's going to make you popular among the people. Oh, yeah, we're all holy, right? Like, yeah, who do these guys think they are? Yeah, we could all do that. And it's the house church mentality, right? Well, everybody's a pastor. Everyone, you know, it's like, look, hold on a second. No, it's not true. There's qualifications, there's, you know, there's a reason that God has this stuff here. Right. It's not for nothing. Right. So they're trying to rebuke Moses and Aaron, saying, you're taking all this on yourself. Did they take it on themselves? No, the Lord put it on them. I mean, how many times is Moses going, like, feeling overwhelmed with the burden that has been placed on him? He was not looking for this. He stumbled across a burning bush. He wasn't looking to be some great leader. It was given to him. So, I mean, all of these things are lies, but it's just this perception. And you can see how, oh, you got all these leaders together, and they're challenging their authority, and the people are behind it. And that's important to understand, too, that the people are actually following this whole band of rebellious leaders that are trying to usurp the authority, the God-given authority of Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron are extremely outnumbered. I mean, it's like everybody against them. Keep that in mind, because that's going to come into play as we finish up this chapter. So they say, you take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? Why are you lifting up yourself? Now, what's Moses' first reaction here? When Moses heard it, he fell on upon his face. First reaction, just, look, anyone's trying to think that I'm lifting myself up and think I'm better than anyone else, he humbles himself immediately. Just to clear up the air, in case he is putting off some impression that he thinks that he's so high and mighty above everybody, he doesn't. Even to these wicked liars, he's trying to show them, look, that's not what I'm projecting here. It's not who I am. He falls upon his face. He says, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his. But he doesn't, he humbles himself, but he does not back down for a second. Okay, again, important to understand the difference between humility and tucking tail and running. Two different things altogether. He does not give up an inch of his authority, but he's making sure they understand he's being humble in his authority, but he's still giving the commands and saying, okay, here's what we're going to do. He says, even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy. He's not letting them get away with their saying, oh, everybody's holy. Well, God will decide who's holy. How about that? Who are the ones that are separated? Who are the ones that are sanctified to serve the Lord? He'll tell us who is holy, because you're trying to say everybody's holy. And will cause him to come near unto him, even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him. Now look, Moses knows that he was chosen. There's no doubt in his mind that he was. He's the one that's been communing with the Lord. God has told him all these things. So of course, Moses is coming from the great vantage point here of being right and knowing for a fact that he's right. Now he says this do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. Ye take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi. Now, Moses, while humble, is still dealing with these people. Now, consider this. Wasn't Moses present? And didn't it already happen in the timeline of events where Aaron lost his two sons that offered the strange fire before the Lord? Didn't Moses know what happened then? Do you think Moses has any doubt in his mind of what's going to happen to these people when they do what he's telling them to do? Moses knows full well that God is going to destroy these people. He's telling them to do it. Well, that's not very loving, Moses. Why would you do such a thing, Moses? That's not very Christ-like of you, Moses. Moses is right. These rebellious people, these false prophets, these wicked, evil children of the devil that are coming in and trying to overthrow everything that the Lord is building and everything that the Lord is doing, it's absolutely right that everybody sees that they're made an example of and that God destroys these wicked people for doing this, and Moses is setting them up for it. And there is nothing unrighteous or unholy about that. Moses is not a bloodthirsty tyrant. Moses is not an unloving, hateful bigot. But he is definitely standing for righteousness and causing these people to be put in a position where they will be put to death. Because it's justified. You cannot deny that Moses had this knowledge of what God is going to do. Yet he's doing it anyways. Moses, yes, Moses, the most meek, humble man. Moses, this righteous leader, he was doing this. And he was doing it on purpose because he knew what was going to happen. Let's keep reading because we see what happens then also, even as he's pronouncing the judgment for God to listen to him, and God listens to him. So we know it's not just out of Moses' own heart that he hates these people and he just wants to stay in power. That's why he's trying to get these people killed. No, it's not out of his own motivation. It's because he cares about the things of God, okay? And God hearkens unto him because he's right. If he was in sin, wanting all this stuff to happen, God wouldn't be helping him to be in sin. And Moses said unto Korah, verse 8, "Hear, I pray you, ye sons of Levi." See, just Korah is the sons of Levi. Just keep that in mind. It says all the way in verse number 1, "Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, the sons of Reuben." Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Reuben, not the sons of Levi. Just in case you never noticed that before. Because later on, when you see them, well, we'll get into that. Let's keep reading here. Verse number 9. "Seemeth it but a small thing unto you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation to minister unto them?" Do you think that's just like nothing? Do you think that's just such a small deal that God's already separated you of the tribe of Levi to do this service? Why can't that just be enough for you, you sons of Kohath? Just do what God has already given you that job to do, that service, that honor of serving in the congregation to minister. Why can't you just be content with that? "And he hath brought thee near to him and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also?" Like, that's not good enough for you? Now you want to be priests? No, that's not the way it works. "For which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord." See, he knows what they're doing. It's against the Lord. It's not against Aaron. It's not against Moses. It's against the Lord. That's what it says. "And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him?" It's not about Aaron. What's Aaron? He's just this human vessel. It's against the Lord. "And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram." And then they're just like, well, we're not coming up. So they're just having nothing to do with this. They're being rebellious. And then, let's see, I'm going to jump ahead here. Moses gets angry because he hasn't done any wrong to any of these people. And he's telling God, look, I haven't done these guys. I haven't stolen anything from them. I haven't done anything to these people. Don't have respect unto their offering, right? "Respect not thou their offering." Verse 15, "I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And then he tells Korah to show up with their censers. Verse 17, "And take every man a censer and put incense in them and bring ye before the Lord, every man a censer, 250 censers. All the leaders, go ahead. All y'all that want to be priests, go ahead and show up with your censer. Thou also and Aaron, each of you is censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation." Look at this. "Korah gathered," verse 19, "all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation." They've got everybody lined up against Moses and Aaron. I mean, they're all against them. They have joined sides with Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." You think God's angry? Before anyone even dies, God's just saying, hey, Moses, Aaron, you guys come over here because I'm just going to consume the whole congregation. So, obviously, we see how God feels about this. "And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of spirits, of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" So right away, Moses and Aaron are interceding for the congregation. Not for the wicked rulers, not for Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, but for the rest of the people that got caught up in their wickedness and their sin. It's just like Jesus. I mean, this fits so perfectly with the entire Bible. It gels, okay? How many people here are familiar with, like, Psalm 69 and other psalms that are prophecies that are curses against Judas Iscariot? Right? let his mother be fatherless, or his sons be fatherless, and the curses that come on the household of Judas Iscariot, the traitor. I mean, total curses. It would be better for that man that he weren't born. Okay, curses. But what did Jesus say about the soldiers when he was being crucified? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There's a difference between the false prophet and the wicked leaders and the wicked rulers that are evil and just reprobate versus the people who get caught up with them and just go along with it. Two different types of people. The one is hated, the traitor, the devil. The other is actually loved and shown mercy. And it's the same thing here. The congregation is loved. The congregation is stupid. They're loved, but they're going along with the wrong crowd. But the wicked rulers, they're wicked. They're evil. And they need to be dealt with. And Moses is dealing with them just like God would deal with them. And he's actually going to let God deal with them. Moses isn't raising his hands against them. But it's kind of like, though, in the New Testament, if you were to invite someone, hey, participate in the Lord's Supper unworthily, right? Because you know what the curse is for those who eat and drink unworthily. They're eating and drinking damnation to themselves because they don't discern the Lord's body. Right? I mean, you have some just extremely wicked, hey, let's observe the Lord's Supper together, right? And then we'll see who the false prophet is. So let's see where we left off here. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 23, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. So God hearkens, right? Because he was just about to destroy the entire, like everybody. And they said, wait, you know, shall one man sin? And, you know, and everyone said, okay, well, why don't you tell them now to get away from Korah, Dathan, and Abiram? You don't want to be close to them in just a moment. And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram. The elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins. So they gat up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram, on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out. Yeah, now they're finally ready to come out of their tent. Remember, they refused before. Like, oh, no, we're not going to come up. So now they're like, all right, yeah, we'll come out. We'll see what you got. Huh? See what's going on here. Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. That's what they're accusing him of. Oh, you're lifting yourself up above all the people. You just want to be in charge. You just want to tell people what to do. No, God put me in this place, okay? And here's how you're going to know that God chose me. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord not sent me. Dude, that's simple. If these guys just live out their lives and just they die, however people die commonly or whatever, God didn't send me. But if the Lord make a new thing and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. God's not waiting. It's like, as soon as he's done speaking, guess what happens? Oh, the earth divides and opens up right underneath the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And they're just like, ah! You know, they just fall down into the pit. And then it closes up on them. It's not some freak earthquake and Moses had some seismometer and he's like checking to see and I'm going to make it look like it's God and I've got all this intelligence. You know. No, it was God hearkening to Moses, proving that God selected Moses by killing these people and their families. I mean, everybody died. The whole household died. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertain unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertain to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now, you would think that should settle everything. Right? I mean, I'd be convinced. you see something like that happen, right? But these wicked people, these false prophets, had a strong hold on the minds of the congregation. Look what the Bible says here in verse 34. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow. So they're freaked out, and they're just thinking like, oh man, we're going to die now, right? And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. He didn't forget about them. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, their houses got swallowed up, but these other people that are trying to offer the incense that were not holy, that were not sanctified, that were not chosen, they were not ordained to do that job, these wicked men that thought that they could just go and serve the Lord, no, God didn't forget about you either, and he killed them with fire, just like he did Aaron's other two sons. Verse 36, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning and scatter them out of the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. So he gathers up all the censers, and they make this covering for the altar. They kind of turn them into these plates, and that's a sign to show that, hey, no stranger is allowed to offer unto the Lord, as God had already said. But here's your reminder that this is what happened the last time people thought that they could just come and be the holy ones and offer whatever they wanted to the Lord. Strong reminder. 250 guys got killed that were trying to offer up that fire before the Lord. Verse 41, jump down to verse number 41. But on the morrow, so the next day, I mean, all this stuff just happened, 250 died, the earth opened up and then closed again, right, as Moses said. Everyone is okay at the beginning with the challenge, right? Well, let's let God determine who's the Holy One. Let's let God determine who his people are. Let's let God be the judge. The earth opens up his mouth, closes it again, and fire comes out and kills the other 250 people, and Moses and Aaron are just fine. And now it's the next day. On the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses, against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. What are you doing? You killed God's people. It would be like today if there was some big event and we're calling upon the Lord to like avenge or slay these false prophets in the land. It's like, God, would you just kill Joel Osteen already? Would you just like smite him down and just let the whole world know that he is just wicked and of the devil and he's a false prophet and he doesn't care about people. He makes merchandise out of men. And just strike him dead. And God, like, hearkens unto that and does it. People would be like, oh, you're killing the Lord's people. That's God's anointed. How could he do that? He's such a great man of God. That's what they'd be like. But that would just be, like, one thing. But this was huge. I mean, this is a big deal. All of these events that happened, they're still just brainwashed against Moses and against Aaron. And look, that you know, The naysaying and the gainsaying against the prophets of the Lord, even today, can run real deep with people. Like, it doesn't matter sometimes what people are shown and seen. Like, if they love their false prophet and they'll hate the real prophets of the Lord, man, that runs deep. Now, these people, it says in verse 42, and it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation. Behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared, and Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. And they fell upon their faces. So God just has to show up now to protect Moses and Aaron, because the people are still against them. The people have it out for them, And God shows up and is just like, you know what? I'm going to consume them. Now, had Moses and Aaron, if Moses and Aaron were to say, like, go ahead, God, we could all probably understand that. It's like, what more do you need? I mean, I don't even know if I can work with these people anymore. Like they've seen everything that's happened and they're still against us. Like, we're the bad guys. I can at least understand the thinking of saying, all right, well, let's just start over again because apparently these people just aren't going to get it. But that's not the attitude that they have. I mean, I'd be able to understand it, but that's not the attitude they have, which is, you know, praise God they didn't have that attitude. Because what they're doing here is exemplifying beyond doubt where their heart really is and why they were even selected to begin with. They were not seeking to lift themselves up. They are not murderous people that's out for blood, and they don't like people that aren't like them. Right? Isn't that the common thing? You just don't like people who are different from you. No, I don't like perverts. There's a big difference. Yes, the pervert's different from me, don't get me wrong, but it's not like, oh, I just don't like you because you're different than me. It's the stupidest argument in the whole world. But that's what people do, and that's what they say. And they'll say, oh, yeah, you just don't like people different. No, I don't like stinking pedophiles, okay? And I wish God would strike all of them dead now.
Amen.
I wish that would happen. I pray every night that that'll happen. Stinking pedophiles. But do I want people to be saved? You better believe it. You better believe it. These people getting what they deserved, completely righteous. Nothing wrong with the heart of Moses in seeking their death. Nothing. But look at the contrast and the difference between those people and these people who still have it out for them, even after all those wicked people are gone. The congregation as a whole still are thinking Moses and Aaron are the bad guys. But what do they do? Verse 46, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord, the plague is begun. They know that God is beginning to judge, God's wrath has begun, and they're saying, we got to help these people. Talk about an unworthy group of people. Ungrateful, disrespectful, not worthy of love and consideration of Moses and Aaron at all. Not worthy. But what did Moses and Aaron do? We got to help them. They know not what they do. They're ignorant. They did ignorantly in unbelief. They're going forth and doing stupid things. But you know what? We need to help them. So much to where he's sending Aaron into the congregation. The same congregation that has it out for you. Go into the midst of them. Why? Because we got a job to do. We got to help them. We're already going to prepare an atonement for them. They need atoning. They need someone to stand up for them. They need someone to advocate for them. They need someone to intercede. Let's do it. Let's help those people out. The same guy that was willing to send these other people to their death is loving on these other people to the point of completely self-sacrificial. Hey, whatever's going to happen to us is going to happen to us, but let's help these people out. This characterizes who we should be, the attitude we should have. Hate the wicked, reprobate, evildoer, and have no bones about their death. On the same hand, have the utter love and mercy and long-suffering towards the lost, towards those that are ignorant, towards people who don't deserve the love and everything. But you know what? Because that's who we were and are. We don't deserve God's love. There's wrath come out from the Lord. Verse 47, and Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst. He ran. He ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made an atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. There's people dying, and he's holding off the plague. So the people on the one side are safe, and people have already died. He's going, stop, no more. It takes courage, it takes love to go out there and have that atonement and intercede. So now they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned unto Moses under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. Turn if you would to Romans chapter 5. We see there in number 16, unworthy sinners facing the wrath of God and needing an atonement made for them. But who are we? Unworthy sinners facing the wrath of God needing an atonement. Romans 5, verse 5, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. The Bible is explaining here the amount of love that man generally may have for someone else, right? You're saying, scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Like, someone may give their life for a righteous person. You find the righteous person that, oh man, this guy is really good. I'm willing to give my life for that person. It's hard to find. Scarcely you'll find it, but they're out there, right? There are people who will take a bullet for another person that they deem to be worthy, that they deem to be righteous, and be like, yes, I would die for that person, right? Yet, peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And let that sink in. And I love trying to, you know, explaining this to people at the door, how much God actually loves you. Look, God has these rules. God has his law. God has expectations. God created you. God gave you life. God gave you breath. God gave you the food and the clothing and everything that you have. God has given you everything. God has been so good to you. And what have you done? Broken his commandments, not listened to him, disrespected him, used his name in vain, done all manner of sin against God, and God still loved you. The love that God has had for you, it's hard to put into words. I try to explain to people like this. Hey, look, you know, especially if they have children, because I say, you know, I can't imagine. I have 6 children. I cannot imagine taking any one of my children for anyone in this world and sending them off to die and saying, okay, I want to save you. I want to save you. In order to do that, my son, my daughter has to go and die. How much love do I have to have? How much love do I have for my children? How much love does the Father have for the Son? Now, that would be a hard decision to have to make for someone else who's really close to me. Imagine that, right? What if you had to give one of your children for another one of your children, something, you know, to save someone else? That's tough. Well, how much more? What about the person who hates you? What about the person who's just done wrong to you, disrespected you, doesn't care at all about you, disregards you? In their mind, you don't even exist. They don't care about you one bit. And then being able to send off my child and say, okay, but I still love that person enough to send this child to go die for them. Unworthy, doesn't deserve one little bit of it, In fact, they deserve to be punished. That is how God commendeth his love toward us. Undeserving, ungrateful, but has demonstrated, has shown his love, has exalted his love by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross and provide that atonement for us undeserving sinners. That is the heart of Christ and of God, to pour out that love for other people who don't deserve it. That is the heart that we need to have. And that heart is consistent with the heart of the wicked doer that needs to be judged. It's consistent. God wanting sinners to come to him and receive that free gift and be with him in heaven is consistent with a God that also casts people into the lake of fire. It's consistent. Wrath, love. It just needs to be applied appropriately, correctly. We need to have that Christ-like love. Look, Moses and Aaron, what a great example. They're enemies. All the congregation was against them. Didn't stop them. You know, people cross you. People do you wrong. And they're not some reprobate. They're just some sinner. How do you respond to that? How should you respond to that? How did Christ respond to you? Turn if you would to Ezekiel chapter 22. The Lord's looking for people like Moses and Aaron. The Lord loves people like Moses and Aaron. They got it down. They got it right. Look at verse 23 of Ezekiel 22. Verse number 23. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. This is the false prophets, destroying the land, destroying the people, doing wicked things. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. 250 rulers in Numbers chapter 16 came. 250. That's a lot of rulers from among the people, men of renown, these highly acclaimed men and leaders and rulers. 250 of them joined forces with those false prophets, with those wicked devils. They sound like people being described here, don't they? Princes in the midst thereof like wolves ravening the prey to shed blood and to destroy souls to get dishonest gain. Verse 28, and her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. Well, everybody's holy, even the whole congregation, divining lies. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. Lots of problems going on here in this country. Lots of people in high places doing wicked things. Lots of false prophets in the land. And look what God says. God still doesn't want to destroy all the people, though. He says, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. All these reasons to destroy the land. And he's saying, look, can somebody stand up Can somebody stand in the gap? Can somebody stand there with a censer and intercede for the people and stand for righteousness and stand for the Lord? And he found none. Therefore, have I poured out mine indignation upon them. He had no other choice. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompense upon their heads. He's just in doing so, but he wanted an intercessor. That's what God wants. We need the heart of the intercessor. That's why we're all about soul winning. That's why. If you need to be stirred up again, hopefully you stirred up again tonight. Don't let the soul winning become so routine, so mundane, so just, oh, it's just something I do. It's important. Have your heart right. Have your spirit right. Why will we do this? The reality of the situation, the sinners out there are facing the wrath of God. It's just a matter of time. Someone needs to stand and stand for righteousness, stand for truth, stand in the gap, make up that hedge, stand for the people. Look, if the people are wicked people, stand up for them, right? They're sinners. Yeah, our culture is declining and people are getting more and more dumb and people are thinking we're the enemies. Stand up for them anyways. Fight for them. Try to win them over to the Lord. Have the spirit of Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The wicked rulers in high places, God damn them to hell. He ought to. He will. I got no love for those wicked people in high places that are just trying to destroy and devastate, and the false prophets that are teaching lies, none. But the rest of the people that are deceived by the deceivers, we need to get out there and stand for what's true and stand for what's right and have God be able to show mercy on the land for their sakes. Everyone needs an intercessor. Bible says Romans 15, 1, you have to turn there. I'll just close on this passage. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Moses and Aaron were strong. They were strong in the faith. They were strong in the word of God. They knew what was right. Moses didn't need anyone to tell him what was right. He knew what was right. He didn't need anyone to confirm because he was doubtful. I don't know if I'm the one who's supposed to be in charge. I mean, these guys are all coming against me saying I'm not. Moses didn't need anyone to confirm that. He knew. He knew. He was strong in the faith. So was Aaron. They knew what was right. They knew their job. They knew what they were supposed to do. But their job was also to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please themselves. They truly weren't in it for themselves. It's not the self-accolade. Why? Because they had the opportunity to get rid of all the people. And they could have had a whole new group of people that maybe might have appreciated it more, but they didn't take it. Because they still cared for the lost. They cared for the people that they need to. And you know what? God loved that. I'm sure God is way happier with their decision that way than to try to take them up on the offer of wiping out all the people. Either way, justice would have been served. But that heart of the intercessor, God loves that. The Bible says in verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. It's an important job standing between the dead and the living. Don't ever minimize or downplay the importance of such a job. We have great participation with the ministry work that we do here with reaching people, so I don't feel a need like, oh man, I really need to make sure people, look, you guys are great. We need to keep it up, and we need to improve. And we need to keep on pushing more and more and never lose sight. Continue to grow. And those of you that might be newer and starting doing this, stay with it. Stay with it. Join us on Saturday. We got a big event. These events are fun. They're fun for many reasons. They're fun for all the fellowship. They're fun for the people that get saved. They're fun, you know, they're fun for the whole thing. It's great. It's a great time. We need to go, kind of go into all these corners of the state and try to hold that sensor out. Hey, let's protect our area. Protect this tribe, right? It's the only way we could do it. We need the heart. Have the right heart, everything else will follow. But you said not to follow your heart. Yeah, I know. don't worry about that. When it's following the Lord, it's good, okay? When it's in line with the Word of God, it's okay. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us. For loving us as you have, dear Lord. We don't deserve 1 ounce of your love. We thank you for providing for us, for loving us, for giving to us. Wow, of all the people who ought to be giving, Lord, we are the ones that ought to be giving and give our whole existence to you. But you gave for us. We love you because you loved us first. We thank you for doing that, dear Lord, and for magnifying yourself in love to us. Lord, we humbly want to serve you. I pray that you would please help us to reach as many people as possible, Lord. We want to bring the glorious light of the gospel, that great, precious gift that costs so much. Help us to bring that to this lost world, dear Lord. Whether they want to call us the enemy or not, I pray that you please help us to reach as many people as we can. And Lord, build this church. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to sing one last song before we're dismissed. Brother Peter, you please lead us.
Church, if you can open up your hymnals, song number 21. Song number 21, What a Wonderful Savior. I know we just recently sung this, but after that sermon, what a wonderful Savior we have. Amen. Song number 21. Out with all our hearts. Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful Savior. We are redeemed. The price is paid. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior. much for coming, you guys.